You're listening to the NCDPS Safety Scoop, a podcast that dives into the stories of the people, programs, and resources within the North Carolina Department of Public Safety. Each episode will give you the scoop from department personnel on how NCDPS enhances the safety of the people of North Carolina.
Welcome to our special episode of the Safety Scoop. It's October, and the North Carolina State Fair is in full swing. The 2022 State Fair will run from October 13th to the 23rd and will most likely bring in around 1 million people by the time the gates close and the final fireworks show ends. If you're thinking, why is a Department of Public Safety podcast focusing on the State Fair? You have a point. The State Fair is a division of the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. DPS definitely does not run the show. We don't inspect the rides or screen the food vendors. In fact, you may not even notice DPS personnel on or around the fairgrounds. And that is how it's supposed to be. Several DPS divisions are involved with providing security during the entirety of the fair. On top of that, State Capitol Police Chief Chip Hawley will return this year to participate as a member of the fair security team. I sat down with Chief Hawley to discuss the different ways he has worked alongside the State Fair team since 1985. What interested you and got you into the door of starting a career in law enforcement?
I was at my senior year at Campbell University when I had a brother-in-law who was a police officer in the town in Coates in Harnett County. And I rode with him one night. And we had a lot of interesting calls. We stopped people, the blue lights, the car went fast. There were domestics, there were fights, and it was extremely invigorating. I was just like, it was like a drug. I was hooked. So I started taking police science at the same time at night to get certified as a police officer, and started out in Coates making $5,900 a year. So that ought to tell you how long ago that's been. And I stayed there for about a year. There was a Lieutenant Abney, who worked for NC State University Public Safety. And he said, you can't make any money in Harnett County. You got to go up to Wake County where those green signs are. He said, I'll start you off at 11-2. So I said, I'm out of here later. So I went up there at NC State, stayed a year or two. It was pretty evident. I was rather high strung. And quickly, the university got really small to me. And I happened to meet a deputy sheriff for Wake County. He came from West Virginia. He was a West Virginia state trooper. And I just saw him walk in one day, and he looked clean as the Board of Health. He was dressed tight. Everything was perfect. And he said, hey, and he recruited me basically. He said, come ride with me. And we rode, and it was just, you know, county is 856 square miles, Wake County is. So it was vast. And, you know, there weren't but about a handful of deputies back then in 1985. So I left the state, went and joined the sheriff's office, where I spent my entire career, basically. I retired there with 34 years of service with there with the Wake County Sheriff's Office. I retired as the criminal investigative major. My entire career, probably 95%, was in patrol division, promoted sergeant, lieutenant, captain, major. When I first got to Wake County, there was NC State football. Was a very lucrative kind of thing. It was very cliquish. You could only work, only certain deputies worked that, and weren't very few. One of them had gotten hurt, and they knew I'd came from NC State, and they said, hey, I didn't get asked. I got told, be there Saturday. So that sort of introduced me to the off-duty aspect of law enforcement. And then shortly after that, because, you know, football season, the fair, I got introduced to working the state fair.
When you were introduced to working the state fair, what did your role start out that first time you were asked to work it?
They only used very few people back then, and I worked nights. There were two of us that worked from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and we just patrolled inside. You know, they basically closed the gates, and you make sure nobody takes anything out or brings anything in. So that's what I did. I just patrolled the inside. Two of us patrolled the inside, but we just made sure nobody stole a teddy bear.
And so what did you think after your first time patrolling State Fair?
I thought it was amazing to see from the beginning to the end on the preparation. It seemed almost magical. Like, one day they come in, you know, there's nothing there. And then within a day, there's rides, there's tents, you know, there's just everything. So it was just really, from a logistical standpoint, I was just intrigued beyond comprehension. I was just like, how do they do this? How do we make this happen? And they were, you know, just watching how it goes from nothing to everything back to nothing. We're looked at across the United States. I've spoken numerous times at different events in regards to the safety and the structure and how we do things in North Carolina, because North Carolina has an extreme high reputation across the United States as being one of the safest fairs in the United States.
After his first experience providing security for the state fair, Chief Holly was hooked and asked to return the following year. Security personnel come from across the state, and the more people who attend the fair means that a higher security presence is needed. Holly didn't care what his assignment was, he just wanted to be involved, even if it was something no one else wanted to do.
Anytime they needed somebody to do something extra, I tried to inject myself in it because I wanted to make sure, I was intrigued with it. I wanted to make sure, you know, how does all this work? How does all this come together? I mean, it's amazing the many parts that you need just for the safety part of it alone, not counting all the other things with Department of Labor, with the rides, Department of Health, with all the food. I mean, there's just all these different entities that come together, and they work extremely well together.
Ready to work, Holly's roles morphed over the years from picking up whatever role was needed around the fairgrounds to a more permanent fixture amongst the security staff. It was determined by the security team that a single individual would need to orchestrate all efforts for the entire 11 days instead of different supervisors leading the group on different days. Holly admits that as a person who likes to be in charge, he took this role seriously, rose to the challenge, and ran with it.
You have to make sure staff are staying on point and that this is not just an ordinary thing. You're dealing with about on average, around 1 million people throughout the state fair is what they've been averaging over the last few years. So having 1 million people come, 100,000 a day almost, and we've had up to 154,000 at one time on a Saturday, that is an incredible responsibility, and I take it extremely serious. Not that other people don't, but when you work long hours and you're doing the same task or different task, after about day 5, 6, 7, you're sort of, you're burning out, you know, and it's all about customer service. We don't sell apples or oranges. We're selling a North Carolina State Fair, and that it's a safe place. If it's safe, everybody comes. If it's not safe, nobody's showing up. So it's all great to have all these wonderful things at the fair, but if it's not safe, no one's going to come enjoy it. I worked the fair from 85 to 18. And then I got appointed, of course, by the governor as chief of police for state capitol. With the new sheriff, you know, I would help them with different things if they needed. When we were talking about how setting things up, I didn't have an active role then. Last year, the chief of police became ill. She has passed since. She became ill, so the powers to be reached out and said, could you come assist again? I checked with the secretary, and they allowed me to go assist along with members of my department to participate, which they have not done in years. So they were very appreciative. So they pulled me back in last year, and I'll have to say it was different because when I ran it for the sheriff's office, I had about 125 deputies and detention officers. Well, they all knew me and I knew them. I knew what your capabilities were. I knew who my canines were, who my SWAT was, who my people that talk very well to people who are upset, and people who are very kind and considerate and have a great heart. So what made last year different was the sheriff's office was in a place where they couldn't provide the necessary personnel that they had been used to. No fault of theirs. It's just the way the world is working right now. So 21 different agencies across the state of North Carolina came together, which was extremely challenging because I didn't know who I was getting. A lot of these came from small towns. They had never seen an event like this, and the fair is an event. There are just so many moving parts when it comes to the security part of it. I had to figure out who my tactical response teams were going to be, and then I created my own tactical people every day. So if there was an active assailant issue or there was an issue, I knew who to pull. They knew who to pull. They've been trained. So State Capitol Police has two canines. One is a vapor scent. The other one is explosive. We use them every day, open to close. I use probation parole. I got with ALE in helping me with different alcohol issues to make sure we were on task with that. I got with the SBI to get with their canines also.
So you spoke about a few of the partnerships that you have when creating your teams. When you bring those individuals in who've either been signed up, you know, volunteered by different agencies, how do you prepare your team and how far in advance from what you can talk about and share? Do you start speaking with them?
You're preparing literally the day you leave the fair, because we have an after actions meeting to see how everything went and, you know, what can we do better. I get with everybody one-on-one the day before, and we leave, and I make sure everybody sends an email. If you've got a suggestion, you saw something, send it to me. This is confidential. I'm not going to throw you under the bus, but if you think you saw something we could do better, worse, whatever. And we've had some of the best suggestions from our young staff that were just working a gate. But literally, we're planning the day after. But it goes out about, I'd say, 4 months before the fair starts. We start getting the powers to be get together. Okay, what's the game plan? What are we looking at? Then we tie it in at least 60 days out, pulling every state partner, every federal partner we have, and make sure, because it's been going, the state fair has been going on so long that pretty much everybody knows their role. North Carolina Highway Patrol, SBI, ALE, probation parole, North Carolina State Capitol Police. You know, the fairgrounds has a police chief working with all of us.
State Fair Chief of Police Tony Bergano oversees all public safety operations year-round at the state fairgrounds, the annual Got to Be NC Festival, and the North Carolina State Fair. Under his leadership, multiple law enforcement agencies are on the grounds daily, working behind the scenes to keep everyone safe during the entirety of the state fair. I asked Chief Holly how the team keeps individuals out who legally are not allowed at an event like this.
Years ago, when I was with the sheriff's office, we arrested someone, and I noticed they had an ankle bracelet on. And I said, hey, what you got the bracelet on for? And he said, well, I'm a sex offender. I was trying to figure out, I wonder how many people are here like that. So what I did was I contacted probation parole, which I'm really familiar with now. I was not back then because I was with the sheriff's office. That's a state thing. They were kind enough to come out, tell me what was going on, telling me they could put up a geofencing around the fairgrounds. So if anybody with one of those bracelets breaks that barrier, I would get a notification. I'd get an email, their picture, their GPS coordinates, and it would be updated about every 2 minutes. And I also, during the fair, I created a react team, about 5 officers, and they just roamed around. And if I needed something, no matter what the incident was, they would go. I said, I need you headed that way. I need mobility. And when we would get an alert, communications would get it, I would get it, we'd send it to the team. The team would say, okay, they're coming in gate 8. That person's coming in gate 8. We would see them, stop them before they came into the fair. And they, all these individuals are notified through their probation officers and through the sheriff's office on sex offender registry that you can't come, like going to a school or anything like that. So they know. But I also know there's pressure to bring mama and the babies and everybody to the fair. So what I try to do is you've got to be compassionate, you know. So I just let those people know, and there were males and females, and say, hey, you can't come in. Now, your family can come in, but you got to go. That ended up turning into a pretty big deal. I've been asked to speak multiple times about it because other fairs want to know, how did you do that? You know, what's the protocol? How do you do it? So that's been extremely successful. I had about 64 hits, I think it was, the first year I did it. And I think last year we might have got a couple of hits. Because not only you got sex offenders, you got other people who are on probation parole that come from out of state, other individuals. So, and if they run into a problem, everybody that works the fair is run through the system to make sure there's no active warrants, no anywhere in the United States or anywhere for that matter. If they are, we address it immediately before things get going.
What can fairgoers expect to see on the security standpoint while they're walking around the fairgrounds?
You're going to see uniformed officers at each gate. There'll be multiples at each gate. They're going to see the North Carolina Highway Patrol bringing them in, making sure they can get in and get out safely. They need to be patient with driving. With law enforcement, there will be undercover. There'll be people you don't know is there that are there to react to different things and different instances. And if there's a complaint, we make sure we have people that are in those roles to watch, look, and make sure everything's going. But you'll see uniformed officers. You'll see canines walking around. They'll go through a security just like they do at the airport. You'll go through, something beeps, we're going to pull you to the side, make sure you're good. Do we find weapons? Absolutely. But generally right there at the gate. And last year, we found very few, but the ones I did were you can't carry a weapon in at the state fair. You can, CCW, carrying a concealed weapon, if you have a permit, you can't do it. And those were the ones that came in. Majority were females. They had them in their purse. They forgot about it. And like I said, we do the right thing. I put them in a golf cart. I take them where their car is, lock, secure it, bring them back in, let them go spend some money. Where your problem comes in at the fair is generally late at night on the midways. You have a lot of people, especially if it's hot. You've got 100,000 people on grounds, young people. They're coming from all over the state of North Carolina. Somebody bumps somebody. They use the word, somebody disrespects somebody, or somebody gets, touches somebody's girlfriend, or that's the main thing that we focus on to make sure that everybody's in line, things happen, nobody's trying to be ugly. And if we do have those individuals, we address them immediately, because it's a privilege. The North Carolina State Fair is a ticketed event, so it's a privilege to go to this fair. It's not a right. So at any point in time, we can revoke your privilege and ask you to leave the North Carolina State Fair.
If someone wants to report something or has a comment, concern, experiences an emergency, how can they get in touch with someone or receive help while they're at the fair?
You can always dial 911. That's your first thing. Now, if you're at the fair, I would try to see if there was a law enforcement officer close by or a fair individual as far as that says North Carolina Department of Agriculture. They have radios also. But if someone is having an issue, they need to call 911 if there's a problem. Because EMS is on site. American Red Cross is on site. So there are a lot of resources available on the fairgrounds during the fair hours.
If you were to give any sort of safety tips to individuals who are attending the state fair or an event where there are large crowds, what are some of the top tips you would give them to stay safe?
First, don't bring any contraband. No guns, knives, weapons of any kind. Don't consume any alcoholic beverage or any impairing substance whatsoever. I think if you get those two things out of the way, you're going to have a pretty good time. If you're bringing children, I suggest a wristband. We even provide those at the fair. There's a place where you can write your name and number. Because you think, I would never lose my kid. You can in about a millisecond. 100,000 people, somebody bumps, hand gets gone. A spin and kid just darts off, no fault of your own. You can't control a 4, 5, 6, 7 year old when they just dart. The main thing is making sure they have information on them, especially any community of any nationality that may or may not be fluent in English. You want to make sure that there is a number, name, a contact per emergency contact. And generally, and that's what those Roman squads are for. That's their main priority. As soon as they hear something going out, boom, there we go. We have a lot of individuals that come have mental disabilities, and they come from different group homes and stuff, and they generally have someone with them, but they walk away quite frequently, and you're dealing with a grown person who does not want to go with you at times. So that's where I say you have individuals who are really good with people. At night, when we do, it's called the push. Because people will stay all night long until we shut it down. So we have to literally push people out of certain gates. And I have to remind our staff that, these are people from all over the state of North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, Tennessee. They come from all over. Well, they don't know where they parked. They have no idea, you used to say, well, did you park on Wilmington Street? Did you park on Hillsborough Street? Did you park here? They have no clue. It was near some cows or, there was a red building. Well, we make sure that we hold it because you've got families with ladies with strollers and kids and just, it is just a or craziness. But we bring that chaos to calm. Hey, it'll be fine. If I put them in golf carts, I put them in gators, let's get you to where you need to be. Because those types of things, those types of customer service things is what people remember about law enforcement. We have a hard enough time. We are not liked or loved, so we need to work every day to be the best we can be. Because we're going to make an impression of people that visit North Carolina State Fair, whether it be North Carolina State Capitol Police, whether it be North Carolina Highway Patrol, whether it be any of the agencies that will participate this year. But they're just going to know it's a police officer. So we need to make sure that they come and they leave with a very positive feeling about how the safety was at the North Carolina State Fair, that it was a safe environment, and the reason it was safe because of the professional law enforcement officers that made sure that they had a great time.
You're creating good experiences, and so top of mind, I know, you know, good things and bad things happen over the years. Do you have a safety success story or just one that comes to mind that you can share with our listeners?
Well, it's bad and good. Several years ago, I don't know if you remember, one of the rides malfunctioned and people passed and got hurt really bad. I was the incident commander. At the time, I was in the command bus, and I had the incident commander for EMS, which was at that time was Gene Lambert. So he and I were sitting there. We'd known each other for years. Ricky Martin, who was a lieutenant at the time with the Wake County Sheriff's Office, who was one of the best boots on the ground people you could have during any incident. When that incident happened, we had staff on site within 30 seconds. We moved all EMS units, got with Highway Patrol. We were able to get every single individual within 7 minutes to an emergency facility for medical needs. To me, that is one of the best. It wouldn't have taken but one bad hiccup, but the way we had been working together for years and years, and we had practiced and practiced, okay, if this happens, what are we going to do? I mean, we parted the seas. We had EMS trucks coming in one way. Okay, I'm going to take them out this way. SHP was pushing people, and I'm not being disrespectful. We were putting people in the ditches. Clear the road. I need EMS trucks coming through. We were able to save lives. We were able to do things. We were able to do what we trained every day. But this night, which was a tragic night, but it showed that all the planning, all the preparation, all the players that had been put into place knew their roles, and it was the whole conductor thing. It was a symphony. It was perfect. The headline could have been really different. We as emergency first responders, we didn't have to be patted on the back because we did what we were told. We did what we were trained to do, and it worked to perfection. So that type of incident is what we train and what I've trained for my entire life. I've got 41 years in law enforcement. I'm considered, because I handled all NC State athletics for over 30 years, 60,000 people at football games. We were involved in something. So dealing with large events, that's sort of my thing. But watching that come together is just amazing. We have been dealing with each other so long and have practiced these things, because that's what we do. We do mock drills. Hey, if this happens, what are we going to do? If they come over on this side, what are we going to do? You can't prepare for everything, but you can prepare, because those who fail to prepare fail. The biggest part of our emergency services, first responders, the role at the North Carolina State Fair is to prepare. Think of everything. That's where I go back to the young people. Have y'all ever thought about if something happened over here, or how are you going to get cars here if something was to do, or those type of things? And we go, man, that's a great thought. All right, put it into plan. We're here to make sure that the North Carolina State Fair is the safest in 2022 that we can make it. No, I just would like people to understand that there's a lot that goes in making sure they have a safe fair. There's from a Department of Public Safety standpoint, I think I've been in a very unique situation where over the years, that was my world with the Wake County Sheriff's Office. And now as my new role as the Chief of State Capitol Police, me being able to merge, get so many more resources through DPS, from Department of Corrections, from Probation Parole, ALE, SBI, the North Carolina Highway Patrol, just everyone. I did not realize the amount of resources from when I was with the sheriff's office. I knew they were there and they participated, but I didn't understand their role as hard as I do now. I mean, it's so seamless now. And I just want everybody that comes to the fair to enjoy themselves. If they have an issue, they have a problem, let someone know. And also, make sure individuals have a plan. If we get separated, we're going to meet here at 3 o'clock. If we get separated, go here. Have a plan before you walk in.
If someone is looking for you on the fairgrounds, you will be out and about. Will you be in the State Capitol Police uniform?
I will. I'll be in Class A, and I'll also be what's called BDUs. I'll be in a black shirt with a sewn badge on it with khaki pants, and I'll be rolling around.
One of the top 10 largest state fairs in the United States, the North Carolina State Fair takes place on more than 300 acres of land. Hosted in Raleigh, North Carolina, it highlights the state's agriculture through both educational and interactive exhibits. The fair features rides, numerous competitions, and live entertainment. Here, we end our conversation about the state fair, but I didn't want to end my interview with Chief Hawley without taking the opportunity to speak with him about the State Capitol Police. Watching him speak about this unit is like having a conversation with a proud father. He stated it throughout the interview, but it was evident that Chief Hawley is serious about the safety of the people of North Carolina. Chief Hawley became the Chief of State Capitol Police in December of 2018, 9 months after joining the force as Deputy Chief. As of now, State Capitol Police has 145 personnel.
Right now, by the end of the year, we should be about the third largest police agency in Wake County. We're the third largest state capitol police agency in the United States. But now there's only, say that tongue in cheek, there's only like 25 actual state capitol police. Some have Department of Public Safety, troopers, state police that handle their things. I look at our role as more of executive protection for the citizens of North Carolina, the state employees, and for the government officials. And I look at it as like a campus police almost in the governmental complex. Even though we handle all the alarms, that's burglar alarms, fire alarms, smoke alarms, throughout over 6,000 across the state of North Carolina. We make sure that, we're in the most high-profile places in the state. We're where everybody comes to complain. When they have an issue, they go to the Capitol. We have the governor's mansion. We have, Department of Revenue, Department of Public Instruction. So you're dealing with people's money, people's kids, and every other department. We are there for them. State Cal Police by next year will be accredited. We'll only be the second State Cal Police that is CALEA accredited, which CALEA, it just gives us that all our policies and procedures are in line with at a certain standard that we don't go below. That will complete the circle within DPS, because ALE, SHP, and the SBI are CLIA accredited. One of our explosive canines is rated one of the top in the state. We go all over the state. Every sheriff's office, every police chief knows that we can go, that all they have to do is call, and we give them our canine's direct number. They don't come through me, communications. I want them to call the canine officer. I need you. Then there's a protocol for them to notify their supervisors to get to me to say, hey, I'm going to Beaufort. They've got a bomb threat. We travel with Supreme Court justices and other justices that go across the state to make sure we sweep those buildings if they're going to be in and out, if there's been a problem. We are becoming the lead agency when it comes to active assailant. If you look at what we do, which is executive protection for buildings, you just have to look on the news. That's where it happens. We've trained over 30 people who are mobile field force trained. Every officer is trained in active assailant. We have personnel who are, we just put on a event through the federal government to train the trainer for active assailant. And we have people come from Colorado, West Virginia, all over the United States. And this was one of the first times, I think the third or fourth, I can't remember exactly, that it's been done in North Carolina. So we want to make sure that we are a professional agency, that I have everybody trained. we are trying to make sure that if we are a resource not only for the governmental complex, not only for Wake County or the citizens of North Carolina that are close by, but anywhere. We travel across the state and giving state employees and private sector information on. We'll look at a building and tell you where the vulnerabilities are, how you can make your employees safer. We've even gone to people's homes. They've asked that, hey, can you mind look at my house? You know, yeah, your bushes are too high here, need more lights here, those types of things. I am extremely proud of our hiring process. We have our inclusion process. We have to reflect the people we serve. Everybody brings something to the table, because how are you going to feel that you can ascend to greatness? I always talk about how, you know, that you're going to get promoted if you never see anybody like you. It doesn't make any sense. But when you see people like you leading, then you say, hey, I got a chance. I can do something here. You have to give people that opportunity. You have to give them the feel that they can participate. And I don't care what you do, what you look like. I tell people, you can go sit in a tree all day. I don't care. As long as you're serving the citizens of North Carolina, as long as you're, you know, professional and doing the right thing by people, we're good. You know, if you don't treat people right, we're gonna have some misunderstanding. But I'm just so proud at State Capitol. We just try to be try to lead by example. I want when you see one of us or you have a problem, that they go, how can I help you? Because that's, I mean, at the end of the day, it's about customer service. It's about just being kind. You know, there's a trigger. There's a light. We can flip that switch when we need to, when we need to go into protect mode, and we need to be on point at all times. But 90% of the time, it's about customer service. How can I help you? Making sure you get in the building safe, you leave the building safe. So we're growing exponentially, and which is a good thing. Now, bad thing is, you know, it's hard to hire law enforcement right now. I think that under DPS leadership, under the command staff that we've assembled at State Capitol Police, because it's not me. There is no success about State Capitol that it has anything to do with me whatsoever. It is the men and women that come every day to make this perfect, because they try every day, because it is not an easy job, because you're not loved. I mean, you know, you're not loved by everyone, not appreciated by everyone. Not that people don't love you, not that people don't appreciate you, but I'm talking about as a whole. You know, we have a hill to climb every day. I tell them all the time, we don't one time climb the hill and we're there. We do that day. Well, guess what? The next day, we got to climb the same hill. And that's what people forget. Sometimes they climb the hill one day, and they're like, hey, we're good. No, you're not. We have to climb it every day. We got to get right back on top. We're back on top. We're good. Because if we're on top of our game every day, then the citizens of North Carolina, state employees of North Carolina, and other men and women that live and work and play in North Carolina and in Wake County are safe.
This is The Safety Scoop, a podcast written, produced, and edited by the North Carolina Department of Public Safety Communications Team. The mission of the North Carolina Department of Public Safety is to safeguard and preserve the lives and property of the people of North Carolina through prevention, protection, and preparation. A special thank you to Sarah Ray, the North Carolina State Fair Division Public Information Officer, for reviewing this episode. Follow the department on social media for a closer look at ongoing initiatives and resources. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at NC Public Safety. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe to The Safety Scoop on your favorite podcast app. I'm your host, Kirsten Barber. Thanks for listening.